This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Rap Boys and Girls. Gosh, we're in such high... Well, yes, we are. That really... There's so many famous people around here. No wonder we have a jingle called The Station of the Stars. Wonderful. Hi to Talk Radio X, to Replay, and of course you lovely people on RCI FM. This is Eric Wiltshire at the base of the Tatry Mountains, where today, boys and girls, I am just so happy it's snowing. And it isn't snowing where you are, is it, I'll bet? Mm-hmm. Not across the pond. The Bilgewater break between the UK and Central Europe, known as the North Sea, is what keeps Lee Banks away. Hopefully, he's still there today, but he's not getting across. You understand what I'm saying here, boys and girls? It's the Bilgewater dike from Holland to the UK,
which I is... I am not a dike.
Hello, Lee.
How can you say that? How... I'm a dike? You're not putting your finger in me, I tell you.
Well, I might try and put about five fingers in you. No, never mind.
Don't you start this show on this sort of...
How are you, mate?
I'm very well, Oh, mate, I don't know. Really.
This is a good start to the programme, isn't it?
It's a brilliant start, yeah. I was going to say, well, here, Eric, it might be snowing there, but here, Eric, there's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
There's a bright golden haze on the... Stop it.
The corn is as high as an elephant's eye.
That was very, very, very good for you.
I lost it at the end, though. Did you hear it wobble? Because I saw crap. And it looks like it's climbing way up to the sky. It's beautiful here.
That'll do, otherwise we'll get done
sunny,
for royalties.
Shining.
Oh, dear. We're going to sing in a minute, by the way, Lee.
Oh, are we? Oh,
everybody
right,
around then. The world, you've got to wait for this, because we like to
hey,
say...
We ain't done this for ages, have we?
No. Hello. Yes. We like to say hello to some very special listeners who earn, by their own efforts, our utmost admiration. And there's a lot of them around here. And I was so proud a couple of years ago to meet this young lady called Patricia, who comes from a city in Slovakia called Prešov. Now, no surprises, Patricia's Slovak. Therefore, she would speak Slovak. That would make sense. But she actually taught herself English. She taught herself how to use a computer and all the English programs on it with absolutely no help whatsoever from the local education people. Miserable gits. And it's even more impressive when you think the beautiful young Patricia, who's 26 years old, she doesn't mind me saying that, I hope, is also not partially, but totally blind. Absolutely amazing girl. Amazing girl.
But you put on your notes, me,
yeah.
That she's a star.
She is. I think
and
she's.
I think that's right. I think that's fair.
I think she's the biggest star. I'm trying to think of a girl's. She's a bigger star to me than Madonna. Absolutely is, because she's a real.
Not Amy Winehouse.
Bigger than Amy. Amy Winehouse is not.
Yeah, you know Amy Winehouse. She's doing adverts for sick horses.
Stop it. I know you're going to go there. Anyway, for Patricia, from the Laurel and Hardy of the radio world, namely Lee and I, this is going out especially to Patricia. So the rest.
My God, who's the little fat one?
That's another 5 minutes you got me. Yeah, I know. We're both going to do it. So on five, yeah, on five,
right.
We're going to sing.
Oh, right. Oh, I know what we're doing.
Yes, right. So especially for Patricia in Prešov, 26 years young. 3, 2, 1. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Patricia.
Prešov, who's 26.
No, Prešov, dear boy, Prešov. It's a f at the end.
Prešov.
It's a Prešov. It's how you say it. Anyway.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were telling me to go.
No, so we've got to...
Right, where are we up to?
Last line.
Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Patricia.
I sound like Kris Kristofferson because of my knackered throat.
No. Sorry. No. Anyway, boys and girls, this is Postcard from Pop Rad with Lee and Eric taking a sideways look at the news, or slightly irreverent look at the news every week. We'll start off with something quite sad, really.
Right, yeah.
He's a friend of yours.
Yeah. What about that? Well, I didn't forget, but I forgot we were going to do it. Yeah.
Yes, Brendan.
I'll just jump in because it's not something to like spend. Is the builder?
Hello, Dad. Hello.
Is his name Bob?
That was it. Did you hear it?
Is his name Bob?
No, he's not called Bob. He's called Dan.
Dan. He's not Bob the Builder, he's Dan the Destructor.
No, Dan the Building Man.
No. Dan, Bob the Builder or Dan the Destructor?
Well, actually, he's a bit like that. He was telling me about one of his mates. He's one of his mates, you know, because builders are a bit wild.
Yes.
One of his mates is having an affair with twins.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, how does he tell them apart? He said, it's easy. Brenda's got long blonde hair and Eric's got a moustache.
Why did I know I could smell something coming down the microphone?
That's a funny joke.
Oh, right. Anyway.
My mate, actually.
Across to California.
Yeah, it's just very sad. And it's funny how I found out. I had a friend 35 years ago. We started the same newspaper, mm-hmm. which was the Ashton Underline Reporter.
Gosh.
And we both saw ourselves as sort of Verlaine and Rimbaud. We were just wild writers, and it was in the 70s where everything was a bit insane.
Yeah.
And we were
punk rockers.
Well, no, we weren't punk rockers actually. You know, in the 70s where people used to wear suits, but the suits were all bedraggled, and you'd have your hair sort of neat, but hadn't been washed for weeks, and you never shaved. You always got like it was that sort of era, and your boots were scuffed.
Where did you live?
Manchester, dear, Manchester. We were fashionable in Manchester.
That was fashion, was it?
Of course it was. Bloody Essex girls didn't know about it. Yeah, what did you wear? Your cagoule.
No, about, get out of here. About back then, I was wearing a leather jacket.
And nothing else.
Yeah, right.
That was it. Yeah.
A leather jacket, very long black hair.
I've seen the pictures. You were quite pretty, actually.
I am, aren't I? I am.
And, anyway, so me and Brendan, right, we were best mates. I'll tell you what, honestly, I consider you to be probably my best mate. Before you, there was Brendan. And Brendan... All right. Got into my heart and soul, and I'm pretty sure I got into his heart and soul as well. Mm. And we just did things together. We'd never really parted.
Sure.
And we weren't lovers or anything. We were just good friends. Anyway,
no tongues then.
Well, there probably were. I did certain substances involved.
Yeah,
we never really knew the next day what we'd been up to, but we knew we had to remain friends in case the other one remembered. And, Brendan came to me when he was... I don't know how old he was. He was a bit older than me. Came to me with me. I'll tell you what. I think I was 18 and he was about 23.
Came
to me. He says, I'm going to New York.
I went,
right. Here we are. We're on the Ashton Underline Reporter, like a pair of drunken tramps.
Yes.
And he says, I'm off to New York. He says, you're coming with me. And I thought, yeah, I am. I'll go with you, mate. I'll be there with you. As fate would have it, as fate would have it, I got a young lady pregnant by accident. Not by accident.
I was going to say, how do you get a young lady pregnant by accident?
Well, you're walking past her, you trip up. But
I feel really sorry for your partner now.
I got. I've just got to have a cough, and I don't have a cough button.
Actually, if nobody's worked that out yet, sorry to aside. In professional studios, we actually have. You can't really hear it because it doesn't kind of work. But I can try. Actually, yes, I can. I can tell you that coming up in the show, and I'll sort of hit me cough button in the middle, and then I'll come back again. Anybody fancy a seared scallop? And that was the cough button in working order, you see, boys and girls. It goes dead. Now, poor old Lee hasn't got one of those, so if he goes...
I've got a bad cough.
If he goes... or something like that.
Hey, what? I don't do that.
Do you not?
I'm a gentleman, yes.
Oh, right.
I
thought you got...
Anyway, I'm going to tell you about me friend.
Brendan,
me mate.
Go on, then.
Yeah, where was I up to?
I have no idea. You're going to New York, yes.
Pregnant. No, I didn't, because I got this young lady pregnant. Mm. And being a bit, sort of, being an honourable man... I was going to say being stupid, but I didn't. I said an honourable man. Being an honourable man, I decided I had to stay around. Brendan went by himself.
Right.
And he became, they said, from being Baudelaire, he became almost William Burroughs or Johnny Rotten.
Really?
He just became this cult figure.
Like a started, punk rocker?
He became a punk, he became the king, the real king of punk rock in New York and LA.
What, in journalistic terms, you mean?
No, he opened a club.
Right.
He had a band. He used to play drums. I broke his drumsticks. He was so angry. He literally chased me down the street trying to stab me.
Nothing changes with you, does it, over 35 years?
No. So he opened this club, and it was really good. And he used to play in his band. And he was all a big drink.
A drink? What?
Oh, he was an alcohol drinker.
Oh, right, okay.
Like what I am. And, I think, from what I can gather, he carried on living that life. Became very popular. I wrote a piece on him, which I put on a website. And amazingly, within a couple of days, we'd had hundreds of readers of it. So he's well-known. He's a good egg. Anyway.
I could pull you up
I
on that point, you know.
On,
I could pull you up on that point, but I'll do it later. Carry on.
Anyway, so, yeah, I got a message on Facebook. I'd mentioned him on Facebook just in passing, saying, I've not seen this bloke for 35 years. Does anybody know what's happened?
Yeah.
What's doing and everything? And I got a message back on Facebook saying, yeah, he's dead.
Oh, gosh.
Thank you. That's like telling you your mother's on the roof in a bottle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it?
So, anyway, it quite moved me, and I wrote this bit on him.
Right.
Now I remember something, and I want to put an appeal out on RTI-FM.
Yes.
And if we really have all these multi-billion of listeners, then somebody might put some message on for me.
Mm.
Brendan, when he arrived in New York, or in America, at some stage he went to San Francisco, and he went to Allen Ginsberg's City Lights bookshop, where he purchased a private edition of Jim Morrison's The Wilderness, and he sent it to me. Shut up! This is emotional. I'm in tears here because this story has been threatened.
Oh, right, go on, carry on. I bet Brendan's looking down at you, laughing his socks off at the minute.
But it would be. Tell you what, from what I gather, the way he died is exactly the way you'd expect him to die.
Mm.
It was just like, there's one second, the next second he's smiling and gone.
Good. Best way.
And that's, good on him.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he sent me this book, The Wilderness, and it was quite, Jim Morrison was a real, the king then, as big as Elvis, really. And I lent that book to another good friend of mine called Mike Wood. And he's still got it. And I wouldn't mind it back, actually.
Why don't you just ask him for it?
Because I don't know where he is. I've lost touch with him for 35 years as well.
Jeepers
if he sold it a car boot, he's a knob, because it must be worth loads of dollars. So anyway, that's nothing to do with it.
So basically what you're telling me is this whole story about Brendan was just so you can get a book back that you lent to somebody 35 years ago. Flipping
it. It'd be nice. Brendan sent that to me from from San Francisco.
Oh.
He just arrived in America.
Yep.
I was supposed to be going with him. He sent me this book. He knew I was into Jim Morrison. And Mike Wood still got it, as far as I'm aware. So listen, Mr. Wood, and if anybody knows him, he was taller than me. He's about 6'6". At that time, he had long blonde hair, and he lived in just outside Moston in Manchester.
Uh-huh.
Tell him to give me my book back.
Well, if anybody does know Mike, just remind him as well. Lee reckons the book's worth a fortune, so why should you keep your mouth shut?
You would have said that. Good on you, Brendan. You were a good mate, and as far as I'm concerned, even if you're in another world now, we're still mates.
Yeah. The other thing I want to pick up on, because this is an ongoing subject through the programme, about the level of interest of writing and stuff on the internet. And you said you were impressed by the amount of people reading your story on the internet.
Yeah.
Not a newspaper.
I don't really write for newspapers anymore. I am what is called a freelance penniless writer.
All right.
That's why when you phone me up at 11 o'clock in the morning,
you're asleep.
I'm like, well, still be in bed, working, because I am a bohemian writer. I make no money, but I'm actually living my dream.
Fair enough.
Actually a writer.
Right, let's get on with some news then, boys and girls. I do like this one because it's a very pertinent story in my little head, because I often think there's a lot of programmes, and I'm just trying to think of something that won't offend anybody, which is probably impossible coming from me. I'm thinking of programmes specifically made for people named Lee who walk pink dogs on the middle of the road at night after leaving the pub. They make programmes for people like that. They're so niche and lovey and getting granties that they're so niche, nobody ever watches them. And Lee's turned up a story on it.
Well, I know. I think it's really funny. I don't think it's funny, actually. Yes, I do. Which do I think, Eric? Do I think it's funny or do I think it's serious?
I think it's both.
I think it is, yeah. What are they called?
S4C.
S4C.
S4C, boys and girls, is a spin-off from the Channel 4 service in the UK, which is for Wales. Therefore, it's all in the Welsh language now. It certainly was, or there were subtitles and stuff like that. So basically, there's a Welsh language channel which is called S4C, and I'm not going to try and insult the Welsh population.
It's not to insult the Welsh.
No, and I'm not going to do the S4C bit in Welsh because I can't remember it right now. I used to be able to do it, can't do it now. But anyway, great story, Lee.
Well, it's sad, really, because S4C turned out such brilliant programmes. Do you know how many viewers they got?
No, I do, but you got to tell me. It's brilliant.
None. Absolutely not one viewed any of their programmes. Well, how can they class themselves as being programme makers? How can they feel that they've got the finger on the pulse? It wasn't that the Welsh language ruined it for them. You know, the Welsh actually understand Welsh.
No.
And more part of their elbow. Keep your language.
I agree.
Make it strong.
But do you know what the problem is? I'll tell you what the S4C programming problem is in a lot of cases. And it's back to where we were last week. They make too many programmes that the journalists classify as culture and art that nobody's interested in.
They make kids' programmes.
Yeah, and next... they have everything on there, mate. They have kids' programmes, news, soap operas, loads of culture and art programmes. That's what S4C does as a public broadcaster,
Well, the thing is... What
it's not the kids' programme. The funny thing is, one of the best-rated programmes on S4C are children's programmes.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not the fact they're making cultural programmes. It's the fact that they're making cultural programmes badly.
No, it's called... They're making cultural programmes. Nobody's interested in them.
I'll tell you, what's that bloke who used to be the head of the BBC who's with the beard?
What, Greg Dyke?
No, the other one.
What, Lord Reith?
No, the one before... the one in between.
I don't know.
Yes, it's the most famous one.
What? No, I don't. It's gone out of my head completely.
I can't. Anyway, he makes a cultural programme that goes out every week on BBC One. And he makes it properly. He presents it properly. It's interesting. It's factual. It's fascinating. And it's cultural. That's what's wrong with S4C. They don't know how to make programmes.
When is this programme of his on, then? Whose name I can't remember.
I can't remember.
He's probably on in the middle of the night or something.
No, it's on about 10:30, which is like secondary prime time, isn't it?
No, it's called graveyard shift in television these
days. No, 10:30's all right.
It's graveyard shift. Everybody's watching movies then. It's finished. I genuinely don't know who Lee's talking about. Who's the bloke? I remember Greg Dyke.
Yeah, what's his name?
I don't know. Somebody tell me. Get in touch.
And got a beard, and he's going bald.
Hey?
Yeah, he was quite controversial.
Was he?
Who's the head of the BBC now? Is it me?
Doesn't that move on.
Is it you?
No.
Do you know who's head of BBC?
What, now?
Yeah. No, you don't.
No, that has gone as well. Mark Thompson.
Come on. Is that who it is?
Yeah, he's now. Anyway, come on, we're spending far too much time on this.
Get on with this show.
Yeah, absolutely. This is like trying to do one of those programs on the, like the YouTube programs on the television, boys and girls, where they have all the clips of things that go wrong. And apparently Lee's seen one with horny elephants.
I know, this is so sad. As everybody who listens to the show on a regular basis knows, I am now scrolling madly through my notes to find the story.
It's only the fourth entry, for goodness sake. We haven't got that far yet.
I know, but it's not the fourth entry on my list.
Oh, no, that's true, because I've got the proper one here.
Right, I'm here. All right, there's no panic. I'm ready. Right, are you ready now?
Yeah, go for it, quick. You've got 30 seconds.
Well, yeah, no, it's just a crazy story and quite dangerous. There was a 35-year-old elephant called Sharu, who was hired out to a big posh wedding in New Delhi.
Uh-huh.
It was the wedding of the son of a parliament member. So they'd splashed out a lot of money on this thing and everything. But the bloke who hired the elephant out either didn't know or was keeping his fingers crossed.
What? You've gone, actually, Lee. You went.
What?
Yeah.
Am I here now?
You're here now. Yeah, go on.
Oh, right. Yeah, there's a 7-week period where elephants are particularly horny.
Right.
And I don't know how you are when you feel horny, although you've probably forgotten. But some people and elephants get really bad-tempered when they're horny and they can't do anything about it.
You mean it's a bit like normal girly time?
Oh, that's Eric. That's terrible. That's so cheap. That's playground humour. Yes, exactly like that.
It's true, though.
And so this elephant, right, it's all dressed up, going to a wedding. It's painted white. It's got all its posh stuff on.
Yeah.
And it's walking, and you can see it's in a bad mood because its eyes like that, and it's flicking its tusks and its trunk at people and things like that.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, then the elephant spots another elephant, a lady elephant.
So it's ladies and gentlemen's time.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, time in the middle of New Delhi. Two elephants looking at each other with insane lustful eyes.
Yes.
And this elephant dashes off right across the room, chases the other lady elephant into a sugar field. They start rolling in the sugar. Everything's sweet and nice. All the traffic in the middle of New Delhi stops while these elephants are at it. Going, elephants doing it like that. And you know what the bride was called?
No.
Her first name is Sun Bull. Well, some bull elephant did it at your wedding.
Then I knew there was going to be a tabloid headline in there somewhere. I knew it. Moving along quickly, because we are so far behind. Apparently, not only things changing over there, Carlos Sims has taken over from Bill Gates as the world's richest man, says Steve Forbes from the Forbes Rich List.
I'm looking for it desperately as well.
I'll carry on.
There he is, I found him.
Right. Apparently he's from Mexico, and he's what is known as a telecoms giant, which means sort of mobile phones and stuff like that.
I thought he meant he had a really big iPhone.
I could tell you a story about an iPhone from the hospital, quickly.
Go on, then.
I had to go to the hospital again. Everybody, I had to go to the hospital again. Oh, thank you.
It's that bloody nose, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
when you're no longer, when you shuffle off this mortal coil to go and join my other friend, Brendan, we will always have that picture
of my nose.
Your nose.
Well, I'll tell you what, if nose jobs means you're famous, I've got to be famous. Because I'm looking down the barrel of the third one now. Because apparently I've got
three nostrils. You're like her off EastEnders.
No, I've got polyps back again. But anyway, the point, they're very nice in the hospital. So man says to me in hospital, is it true that I can listen to you on my iPhone now in Poprad? So I said, yeah. He said, and rather like your friend Sarah the other day was having a little bit of difficulty with it, but we straightened her out. I said to him, this is what you do. And he went, oh, is that it? So I said, yeah. It took about 10 seconds to do the job. And they were sitting in the hospital listening to us.
Brilliant. What about Sarah, that friend of mine?
Yeah, we haven't finished Carlos yet, but we'll do that.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, it doesn't. That was going to talk about. I was just saying, like, young people, she's so young, she's barely been born, and she couldn't even find us on the iPhone.
Well, that's because she wasn't.
And you sat there trying to tell her how to do it. I think that's just certain women.
If you need to know how to do it, boys and girls, go to our
go
blog.
Watch an elephant.
Yeah, exactly. Go to the blog and there's a dummy's guide of how to do it. But anyway, apparently, poor old Bill Gates now is only in second place with $53 billion as his fortune. Oh.
Yeah.
And poor old Warren Buffett, he's only got $43 billion. He'll never be able to buy a McDonald's.
Should we like send him some?
I think we should, mate. I think we should send him a Red Cross parcel. I think we should. I think we should.
God, can you imagine if you're down to your last $53 billion?
Oh,
what
sad.
Would you do? How much is that in pounds?
I don't know, but you'd start looking down the back of the sofa, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's it. Oh, there's another billion of them.
Yeah, anyway, moving along quickly to... we'll do Langham's now, because this is terrible, okay. Isn't it? Langham's. What an awful thing.
Why is it terrible?
I think it's just a joke. But anyway, we've got two stories.
Langham was a joke. He was a personal friend of mine. He's another friend who's dead.
Yeah, but hang on. Langham's, right? They're doing fancy ice creams, lollipops. And one of them's a foie gras.
A foie gras.
Foie gras.
Yeah.
How revolting is that?
I think you could have a tomato and watermelon melon sandwich with licorice sauce. I think he's brilliant.
I'll tell you, these people have got consultants. They must be very wealthy consultants because they sit there and dream up these stupid sandwiches. And then the lovies who are into their arts and culture programs go, oh my gosh, how awfully wonderful is that, Horatio? Marvellous, Roger. Yes, we'll have four of those, I think. What do you reckon, Smackers? Yes, we'll have some of those as well. Yes, that'd be marvellous.
Well, I think, yeah, you're right, this is. But
it's
you know how much you have to pay?
Go on.
Well, if you wanted, say, your basic dish starts at 38 Hong Kong dollars. But the most expensive is round about 68 Hong Kong dollars.
Yes.
Now, aren't Hong Kong dollars more expensive than American dollars?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. Either. But
we're
I'll tell
really
you what it did,
ball,
it did do. It really did prompt me because Lee put this story through to us. And I saw it and I thought, yeah, I just had an idea.
Go on, mate.
Because these kind of shops is where you go and get your organic sausages and your organic pies and your organic pork pies. And actually last year, there was a couple, as husband and wife, the husband went to prison, I can't remember his name, wife and the manager are on suspended sentences because they were nipping out to a butcher's near where their so-called factory was and buying regular pork pies. They were rewrapping them and selling them to Fortnum and Mason's in London, the fine food store, as approved by the Queen, and they were flogging them as organic pork pies, and the Reginalds and the Rogers were buying them, don't you know, and buying all this stuff. It's unbelievable. Fakes. They do it all the time.
Which, well, that's right.
Actually, a couple of quick reminders, because we're nearly there. On that subject, it reminded me to do a little 30-second consumer watch. Yeah. If you're tempted by dodgy alcohol, and I don't mean sort of homemade stuff, I mean where it's like a vodka that's really, really cheap.
It's made out of, yeah.
Is it ethanol, yeah, I think they put in it, isn't
ethanol.
It? That's
the
one.
Word that I couldn't think
Thank
of
you.
At that particular moment in the show.
Good
we
stuff.
Are so well prepared.
We're rubbish today. now, be careful if you get some of this stuff that's so cheap, it's obviously not real. Some of these bottles of vodka especially have ethanol in them, which could, I'm not saying it would, but it could actually make you go blind. And if that's
you won't freeze in the
cold. Yes, true. And if that's not bad enough, I actually saw a counterfeit packet of cigarettes. When you opened it up, it was the 200 pack, yeah? When you opened up the packet, in the bottom was a little piece of lead, and above the lead was polystyrene to pack the box up. It was all sealed up. So in the box of cigarettes that you probably paid sort of a tenth of the price for, there was actually nothing but fresh air in there.
No, I know. That's the thing. And it happens. It happens with everything. I do not recommend the use of drugs, as you know.
Right.
But I have been told that that when you buy what's known as Bush, that's the green stuff.
10 seconds.
The hard stuff.
Yep.
They actually pack that out with silicone. So when you roll it in your cigarette, you're actually smoking silicone.
Marvellous. We'll be back with you for part two of Postcard from Pop Brand. If we can talk, say, or get the words out. Don't go away, boys and girls. We'll be right back.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.